This is one of the magics of this type of show. Your next act is about to do stand-up comedy for the very first time.
I'm excited to see your next comedian. Please put your hands together for Peter Hartman.
Please put your hands together for Tom Hartman!
I gotta give him autocorrect. For Lent or something, I don't know, it's really ruining me. I find myself when I'm writing with a pen on paper that I just like give up halfway through words, like Wednesday and February. Who can spell that shit? I'm not a genius, I have no idea.
There are the greats and the rest of us. It's been another week, Peter.
Another week.
Yeah, another comedy week.
Moving forward through time.
Yeah, and this week we're going to be talking about
set lists.
So, coming up with jokes. Deciding what gets on stage, it's a whole process, it's a whole ordeal.
So just in case people don't know, a set list is the list that you have when you're going up on stage of your jokes, maybe the order of it, but at least your jokes.
Yeah, some people wing it. Look, if you're a veteran, I'm sure you can just get up there and do your jokes, but I feel I need some reference points.
Well, I was told that... to begin with, you're allowed to have your notes, you're allowed to have your set list up there, but if you're starting to get paid for doing comedy, no paperwork, no lists with you. You got to have it all in your head.
That's right. Well, look, we're starting off. More and more now, I've been not bringing my phone up, but I do definitely memorize my list beforehand. I need to know what comes after what, what comes after what, what comes after what.
I feel
more confident that way.
I feel more confident, too, when I work it out. I have to memorize it now. I don't have an abundance of jokes that I can just go through. And when I go up there and the lights hit my eyes and I see the crowd and I hear my voice in the microphone, my mind just goes blank.
Totally blank.
Just completely blank. Tabula rasa, man, like immediately.
Yeah, so like coming up with the jokes, though, I write down everything that I think could be a joke. I'm constantly looking at all situations, all things, and saying, is there a joke here that I can use?
So you're alive all day long, you're just like aware of what's passing through your head, and you're like paying attention to the jokes coming in.
Well, the first thing I pay attention to is whenever I made anyone laugh, or made myself laugh. I don't just let that go, I write that thing down.
So when you say something funny at work, when you say something with your friends...
That's right, something spontaneously came up, and I thought it was interesting, I thought it was funny, I definitely write it.
Do you add that to your set list right away?
No.
Move it to the side?
No. Because what I do is I come back to it later on a couple of times, and if it still makes me laugh during the week, like it actually has to make me laugh. If it doesn't make me laugh again, then why do it? I'm not going to find the funny on stage for that.
So how do you decide? Okay, so you have your set list. This is the problem I was having today. I have jokes that I really like. They do make me laugh. But I have more jokes that don't fit into the 5 minutes. And I'm wondering, you know, how do you make that Sophie's choice between your jokes?
Well, there's always another opportunity to tell the joke, right? What I'm looking for any given set is to carry over jokes that I did like and to refine them. But then there's always a spot for a couple of new... Like tonight when we go up, I have three more jokes. Three new things I want to test out that really made me laugh this week. That I want to see if there's anything there. So those get on. But not everything. Like there's plenty of things that I thought was funny this week that I didn't put on. Or for previous weeks. And that'll make it on later on. So it's not like a Sophie's Choice where it'll never work. The only ones that ever get cut completely are the ones that didn't make me laugh again.
But I tend to have a flow to my set list, you know? Like the jokes sort of connect to each other. And when I remove a link, I feel like it makes the whole thing unbalanced. And so I spend a lot of time looking at my set list. I have different versions of them. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what am I going to do for, like, editing?
Well, I do prefer the flow to it. Like, that's certainly something I prefer. But I found, especially over the last couple of months, paying attention to other people, that it didn't really diminish my joy of the jokes that they were all separate. And, in fact, it allows you... to like experiment with a one-liner or two-liner and see how that hits.
So they don't really like connect to each other. You just have a joke without that much.
Yeah,
of a segue.
Like I like when they're all connected. I like when there's a theme, or especially when it, you know, resonates with who that person
it
is.
It can be hard in 5 minutes, though.
That's the problem. It can be hard in 5 minutes.
You have a limited time.
If you want to test out a new joke and there's nothing else that ties to it, well, you just gotta
Otherwise, you end up with, what, 8 penis jokes in a row like you did.
Oh, those are thematically related.
Yeah, but, they're too thematically related.
Well, like my Hitler joke. My Hitler joke ends, the punchline to the Hitler joke, I made it in such a way that it can be anything. And whatever thing I say as a punchline can then lead to my next joke. So it's sort of like my automatic bridge.
Mm.
The Hitler joke in and of itself is a non sequitur.
It's too bad because I really like, we won't spoil the punchline here, but I really like the first version. But
I think I'm going to do that tonight, the first version.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like it. I know some people take offense at it. I open out with two jokes that are a little...
it's funny that you can be doubly offensive in a Hitler joke.
Yeah, a little offensive, but I don't know. I kind of like it.
Yeah. So you gave me a piece of advice that I really took to heart. Remember when I first started, I would write down all my jokes verbatim, all out.
Yeah.
And you said, Tom, if you can hashtag your jokes, then you're never going to remember them.
That's right.
They have to be hashtagable. And so now I boil down all my jokes to 2, 3, sometimes 4 words. And that better be enough. Because if it's not enough, then the joke is not there for me.
That's what I've been doing. I really like these tag words to your jokes. And you just try to remember that. I actually heard it from Louis C.K. He says, if I'm not mistaken, he says he writes down these notes. And if you can't remember the joke from a few key words, then it's not funny.
That's right.
It's not good enough to stay.
Yeah. So, I mean, a little teaser for you. I have a joke, a new joke you haven't heard today that's I'm going to be saying on stage. The hashtag for it, Facebook hot baby.
Facebook
hot baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you leaving a baby in the car with the window rolled down?
No. I mean, it used to be, that sounds a little bit too vulgar.
Yeah, maybe not a little too vulgar.
Maybe not for the podcast. But you come see us and we'll, you'll definitely hear it.
Come see us, come out, and you're going to hear all our offensive jokes right there on stage.
We're very friendly, very approachable. I mean, I want people to talk to me all the time.
Well, I've got a kind of a mean...
I need friends is what I'm saying. I want friends.
You need friends.
I'm lonely.
I've got a mean resting face. People used to come up to me at work all the time and say, are you okay? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
no.
I'm fine. No. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But we are friendly. And if you come out, not only will you hear our jokes, but you'll get to talk to us.
Yeah. That reminds me of one joke that I had that I cut completely. And that's, black guys, you need to smile more. You're creepy and scary. White guys, you need to smile less. You're creepy and scary.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's cuttable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably cut it out of this podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to And the Rest of Us.
There are the greats.
And the rest of us.
Hey, we're having fun here talking about set lists.
Oh, so I make sure that I keep my set list for all my past ones. I like to see the evolution of it. Do you ever consult your past set list?
Yeah, I look at them. I do have them. I mean, I have my joke list where all my jokes are there.
Yeah.
But I have different versions of a set list just in case I need to go back to something that worked or if I want to try something new. So I have different versions of the set list.
Like tonight, you have multiple versions of a set list?
I have two or three versions.
So when are you going to decide which one you're going to go for?
Well, I'm going to go for the newer one. But, one of these days, one set will please me more than another.
One of these days, this set will please me more.
Yeah, this is not a American Idol podcast.
There's going to be some singing.
Yeah, no. Can't stop think that. We're going to cut you from our set list.
What?
Yeah.
You're going to replace me with some blonde bombshell?
Hey, that's a great idea.
It's not a great idea. It's an audio podcast, Peter.
I don't know. I feel like it would make it better.
Maybe.
Yeah. A nice, attractive blonde.
Yeah. So tonight we go up at Comedy Works.
Or brunette.
Comedy Works.
Or redhead.
We've always wanted to go up at Comedy Works.
Any attractive woman would be good.
Classic brick wall.
Yeah, the brick wall!
It's the room that we went to the most often.
Yes.
They closed down.
And
closed down right when I decided I wanted to try open mic.
Oh, my God.
And I was so devastated.
Well, this is classic open mic. Bring your tomatoes.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Might be a bare room.
You know, I hear it's a little... Look, I mean, it depends on how many people are going. It's summertime. The weather's out. Maybe more people will come out. I hear Comedy Nest is more popular. But I have a warm spot in my heart. For the Comedy Works. It's like the warm spot in the pool.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know, their red light is like at the back of the room right in front of you. Like,
so you can see it?
So you can see
it. You can't miss it?
Yeah.
I keep thinking that Comedy Nest should really have a better red light because I don't think I've ever seen it when I was on stage.
Mm.
I've never seen that red light and I've seen many people miss
it. But I've heard the click, 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 click.
I haven't heard anything.
I've heard click, 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 get off the stage.
But like I'm saying, like when I do it, my brain goes blank.
But I wish it was a timer, like a TEDx or something. Why is there not a timer there?
Oh, it'd be too distracting.
Distracting. How's it any more distracting? Every time we're up there, we see people up there, they're constantly glancing up at the light to say, did I miss it?
You want to replace the red light with a timer? Or do you want to replace the stage
with I'm saying it could be optional. That I could say, turn on the timer for me, please.
Right. Maybe the green room should be a cubicle.
Or whatever. You put something in your pocket and they buzz you at one, so you can't forget it. What's wrong with that? I think it would be quite useful. I would not constantly be going over my time. I'm constantly going over my time.
Well, how much are you going over it?
Minutes. I'm basically doing double sets sometimes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible.
They don't like that.
They certainly don't.
Don't go over your time.
No. I forgot to apply last week for open mic.
You know what? I'm going to be setting up an automatic email to send it out because...
No, because the day that we don't want that to happen and all of a sudden we're on the list and we don't show up, that's even worse. I'd rather miss than to say I'm going to go and it's like, oh shoot, I went on vacation.
Well, why would we miss anything? We record the podcast every week.
Well, what happens if 1 week we don't?
Then that's the week we have to remember to cancel our email.
Well, the week that you're in the hospital because you're in a car accident and all of a sudden you're on the list of Comedy Nest?
Well, you took that to a dark place.
Well, it's you weren't taking my baby steps. I had to full metal jacket.
So do you have multiple set lists?
No. Never.
Oh, really?
No, I modify my set list up until I get up there. But never at multiple, I can never memorize them.
I listened to Dane Cook, and he says, you know, he doesn't go up with, like, a structure to how he's going to do his comedy. He just has a bunch of jokes in his head, and he just sort of feels the crowd, and he does that. Do you think you'll ever get to a point where you're just going to go up with a bag of jokes, and you're going to put them in the order that feels right?
Yes, absolutely. Hmm. That's my goal.
I don't know. I kind of like it when it's, like, there's a structure already set.
I don't like as much performance pieces. I like comedy because of the one-way dialogue with the audience.
I know, but there's, like, you can have a conversation with someone, or rather, you can go and see a comedy show, and the person's just saying jokes, or they could be, like, really feeling like you're having a conversation with them, like a reasoned conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that. I kind of like it when it's not just jokes, but a reasoned conversation. Like, I don't know if Bill Burr has a set list. I don't know exactly how that works, and honestly, if I look at his style, maybe I...
Well, I've heard some people say that they've been in the green room with him, he's joking, just talking, and it's hilarious, and he goes on stage, continues the conversation, comes back, and is going on...
So maybe he's more like that. And I'm trying to think of a comedian that, you know, you really feel like this clear structure to them as they're saying their jokes.
Chris Rock, you feel that clear structure?
Yes, definitely. Chris Rock is one of these people. I doubt that he goes up and free flows, but, you know, these people, they are the greats.
Aziz Ansari is certainly not, he has everything planned out.
It sounds like he has everything planned out. I mean, there are a lot of, like...
Well, because I think about the time I bombed, where I wasn't flexible enough, and I'm thinking, if I was more flexible and really adapted my jokes, it would have been much better. I would have, you know...
So, as you're bombing,
yeah.
You want to call the play? You want to, like...
That's right.
How? If I'm bombing, I am for sure sticking to the script.
What are you talking about?
I am not changing anything.
What if your script's not working?
Well, my brain is not in creative mode when I'm on stage. I'm in, like, panic mode, like, deer in the headlights mode, and to think...
No,
to
jump to something else. Your jokes are not verbatim anyway, right? Not all your jokes.
They're not verbatim, but virtually.
Well...
I don't know. Sometimes I think we should just, like, give up control to the geniuses. Let the smart people make the decision. Let them be the decision makers, you know? But then I think about a guy like Stephen Hawking. You know, Stephen Hawking has that voice, and I think to myself, why is Stephen Hawking's voice still stuck on default? And what is up with that? Why haven't they upgraded that guy's voice? Siri has two goddamn voices. That guy still has that 1970 robotic voice projected. The universe is expanding. No.
Does it feel as good for you to say it now as you did the first time?
Well, I know that in a year from now, I'll probably be different. But I know starting out...
I just don't see how it's enjoyable if everything's verbatim. Why not just write? Why bother going on stage and telling your jokes? Just write them out?
Yeah, but there's different types of actors and things like that where they can perform it in a way that it feels natural. Yes, an unnatural...
But to you, does it feel... alive.
When I do it well, yes.
Does it feel like the Constitution or the Bible, a living, breathing
the
document?
The Constitution or the Bible?
I guess it's not.
Do you want a gun?
The Bible can be amended.
Well, we can amend the Bible. It's called being Lutheran.
Set lists. We're talking about set lists here. What apps do you use to write your set list?
I use Clear.
Yeah, Clear is pretty good.
I love Clear. Actually, there was this cool app I got. And
Simple Notes.
Well, if it wasn't for my OCD, I'd probably use this. So it's very much like Clear, not in style.
No,
but
ideas.
Well, you put your jokes, you write your jokes. You have the set list. But what's cool about it is that there's a community where you can post the jokes that you're working on. People will vote and tell you if it's funny, if they like it. I thought it was pretty good.
What if you're just writing down the words to it?
Well, you can write it any way you want, but if you write your joke and you put it in the section and other people are commenting in like this feed and you get these likes on these jokes or not, so you get like instant approval or disapproval for your jokes. Now, I don't know how I feel about
this. There's only one place I want to crowdsource my jokes, and that's on stage.
Well, that's kind of an old-fashioned way of looking at it.
The right way of looking at it.
The right way.
That's what you're saying.
Are you an American?
When I'm right, I am an American.
He's a Republican. He's not only an American, he's a Republican-American. No. What are you? Are you voting for Hillary Clinton?
I am voting for anarchy.
So I'm not voting? Yeah,
what, tear it down.
Tear it all down.
Tear it all down.
Well, look, when it comes to tearing it down, do you think you'll ever like challenge yourself up to go up there with no set list, nothing at all?
Yes. But speaking of challenges, thank you for reminding me.
No, we were on my subject here. I wasn't reminding
you. Well, I said yes to your subject and I moved on to something more interesting.
I think there's more to
what we're gonna say. So I'm trying my best to have no dirty jokes. And no swear words.
Yeah, you want to make it, you want to please a four-year-old. I mean, you want to, anyway, you said it better last episode.
Yeah.
I make this general pow at home, right? I make this, it's a staple dish at our house. And she constantly is complaining about it. I don't want the green onions in the general pow. I don't want to eat it. So the other day, I made the best general pow you've ever tasted. It was kick-ass! Everybody loved it. Dami loved it too. I said, oh my god, it was so good, Tom. I loved it so much. I go, fine, you know, stop complaining about the green onions in it next time. If you make it like this, I won't. Well, maybe I won't make you any food anymore then. That's okay. Then my mom will make me some food. What if she doesn't want to make you any food? That's okay. My sister will make me some food. What if she doesn't want to make you any food? Tom, I'm 4 years old. I'm a kid. Someone's going to have to make me some food. You know what it's like to lose an argument with a four-year-old? It's not the high point of my week.
So I think I have it this time. Like, there's no swear words and no...
What?
Yeah, no dirty jokes.
So
penises, it's no nothing.
Not honest, is what you're saying.
I think you'll like my last joke if I get to it.
You're gonna have no jokes, no swords.
To tease that hashtag, it's called God and Adam Impression.
God and Adam Impression.
Yeah.
An impression
of God. I got an impression of God and Adam. It's pretty good. It's making me laugh right now just thinking about it.
Oh, do you wanna just for the fun of it, read your set list? Do you have the keywords written out?
Well, I know it by heart.
Okay, go ahead.
It is dinosaur ghosts. Airplane, General Tao.
Come on, spit it out.
Yeah, I think it is.
Spit it out, come on.
Oh, Igger. That's gonna be.
You wanna like clearly say that word?
So Igger.
Igger.
Yeah.
Igger. You're not saying that in like some cool slang.
No, I-G-E-R.
I-G-G-R.
Yeah.
Okay.
Igger. God and Adam Impression, Hitler Time Machine, and Lord Luton.
Low gluten.
Low gluten!
Mine is,
You know what low gluten is for? That's
my Christmas. I like it. Mine is, I'm not gay. Right. I love women. God is a woman. Hyperhidrosis. Don't spill it. I'm not gay again. Ideas are contagious. Violence in media. Autocorrect. Stephen Hawking. Spit on my own floor. Anti-gay, which is my new joke, and... superpowers, and 7.854. And if you don't know what 7.854 is...
You gotta come out.
You haven't heard my joke
yet.
That's
right, you gotta come out
and listen to it.
Jesus, I just forgot. I have a autocorrect joke that you made me think of that I wanted to do.
You're doing an autocorrect joke?
Yeah.
Well, you forgot the joke, or you remember it now? Why are you saying Fudgepacker?
Because I didn't put it on my set list.
Oh. You don't have time, though.
No, I was gonna play something else, but I can't do too many jokes. I'm gonna be too nervous.
You're gonna be too nervous if you have too many jokes? Why, because of the time?
No, because they're all new.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't want to be as nervous as I was the first time I went up. I want to sort of mitigate that if I can.
Well, I don't feel like...
I'll do some other time.
Like, my heart was pounding last time. I was actually surprised. I couldn't even calm myself down.
I almost threw up over the bar the last time I went up.
But I was less scared.
I was just worried.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't have that all-consuming doubt as to whether I was funny.
But we'll still have to do an episode about bombing, and I'm sure between... that'll probably be near the end of our season.
The season finale!
Well, maybe not the finale. The
near season finale!
It could be. A bombing could be a nice last episode.
Some upcoming episode!
Maybe that's the episode where we'll post our bombing videos online.
Ugh.
On our website.
We can't even watch those.
Other people can. Ugh. Hey, I think it's kind of cool. I don't think I've ever seen a video of somebody, especially a new person, who was bombing... and you know, it really wasn't funny. I think it'd be cool to see that.
Yeah, well, what if that's the video? Those are the videos that get the most views online, and people know us as the Bahamans.
Oh, is that the problem? Mm-hmm. What if those videos get millions of views?
Uh-uh. Hundreds of views.
Hundreds?
Hundreds. Which to us would be hundreds more than the views we have right now.
Hey, man, what's 100 plus zero? I can never do that calculation. I can
never do the calculation.
Yeah.
Probably why I failed French.
Yeah, it's a...
It's pretty good.
Slow burn.
I write that down.
Okay, look, we got to talk about our pick of the week.
All right.
Who's our pick of the week?
Alon Asimov.
Alon Asimov. A-L-O-N.
No E.
No E.
A-Z-I-M-O-V.
Alon Asimov. So you definitely want to check him out. He's really funny.
Well, here's the thing. When I had seen a couple times before, I thought that he had some work to do. He'd be the first to...
Oh, we all have work
to do. Yeah. But I would never have recommended him. But I saw him...
I like the style. Time. I like the style when I first saw
him. I like the style because it was original. Well, from what we've seen,
yeah.
It's certainly more unique in the Montreal scene. And I'm not going to spoil it for our listeners, but I really enjoyed it. But it seemed more like... It seemed more like a comedian's comedian sort of delivery.
Comic's comic.
Because it was... You had to really follow it quickly. There were so many obscure references and jumps you had to make, which he likes. He said, I write my jokes to make me laugh, and I understand if they don't necessarily hit with other people.
And you're thinking the set you saw last week was
It good. Seemed like he had learned from the ones before, and he really delivered it nicely. Plus, he had the benefit of a nice crowd. So,
it was like, the first one up, right?
Was he?
I think he was.
First or second, something like that. But it was hilarious. I thought it was so funny.
It was very funny, very well done. Even though he was like stammering, it looked like it was part of the act and that he felt confident. And I like seeing that. That's the thing that's very important, to look as confident as you can on stage. Because if you seem uncomfortable, like overly uncomfortable, then the crowd will be uncomfortable
too. That anxiety is infectious.
Yeah, when I'm sweating on stage, there's no funny there.
Well, you gotta own it, Taurus.
Gotta own it!
It's gotta be okay that people laugh, because then they're
nervous.
They're just counting the minutes. But look, it's the reason why I like open mic so much better. Like, I try my best to go to the headliner stuff, but two things. One, you go see the headliner thing, and there's no risk, it feels like, involved. These people have a home thing, right? And I get that. But also, second, if I don't like the headliner, I got 20 minutes I gotta listen to that.
I know, it's so, like, long when the person's not good.
But for open mic... 5 minutes, whether they're good and I want to hear more or not, they're off.
That's it.
And I enjoy that rotation through. I enjoy people who want it, who have the need.
I sometimes think that it's because of these sort of ADD generation, the fast-moving clips and everything going
No, quickly. I think it's the authenticity. I don't believe the headliner.
No, it's authentic. But even if I'm listening to a funny headliner,
yeah.
I'm still like... I wish I could hear more people, because what I find more interesting is the variety of people that go up. And mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of the reasons I listen to stand-up comedy at home, or I used to listen to stand-up comedy at home.
But that's not an ADD thing, that's more like of a...
I'll just get bored by hearing the same person, unless they're really, really good and really, really fresh.
Right.
Most of the headliners that I've heard, it's just an hour long of, you know... There are some open micers, if you told me they were going to be up there for an hour, I would actually be interested in hearing them, because... how sort of new and raw it is.
I think this is why I like Louis Black so much.
Louis Black is really funny.
I really liked him because it always felt like he was open micing. It always felt like that. I don't know, just his delivery, whatever, but he would say he's nervous. He would say that he's swearing, he's trying to think of the next thing to say and all that sort of thing, and I really like that. Whereas, listen,
you ever listen to...
Like David Cross didn't always feel like he was open micing. Sometimes David Cross felt like he was just delivering this dissertation.
Maybe.
I really like David Cross, but Louis C.K. feels like he's... It's always like he's testing out the waters.
Well, Bill Maher, he seems to me like he's got his script. And I don't know if that comes about because you're doing a talk show. He has the show Real Time with Bill Maher, and he does his open monologue, sure. Just like Jimmy Fallon or whoever the other people are. If you're not Jimmy Fallon, you're pretty much a loser. But... Well, not really, because Stephen Colbert will be taking over David Letterman. Can't wait for that. It's going to be great. Well, let's finish up this conversation about set lists, because it's actually very, useful It's very useful mm-hmm. to sort of sit down, even if you're not going to memorize your jokes, to just sort of structure them.
Well, because you're feeling them. You're feeling, what does this feel like?
And you're feeling the idea of how it might
go. This is fit for tonight. Do I want to say this? Yeah. That sort of feel.
And do I want to say it here? Do I want to say it there? So I kind of like looking at my set list and like rearranging things and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun.
You should ask Alan how he comes up with the sets, because his set list must be ginormous.
Well, I mean, he pulls out his paper on stage. He like comes up with joke, like he's putting the puzzle piece together on stage. Yeah. So I don't know. To me, that's harder. Do you like it when they break to look at their notes and all the stuff? Like, does that take you out of it? How does that affect the performance? Because I think
I like it.
You like it? I don't want to do it.
No. I mean, I don't want them to look at every joke, but if the failing is part of the authenticity. Like, oh, can I remember it? Oh, I can't remember, I gotta look.
I don't know. Part of me feels like it's like a little lazy to not. I mean, I look at my notes, but it's not because I don't remember my
you
jokes.
You know what it's like to black it up there. You know what it's like.
That I do get. That I do. Of course I do. It's I look a crutch, at my notes all I get, the time. But no, I look at my notes all the time. Yeah. I'm not saying that people shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, even when it comes to my own performance, would it be dramatically improved if I didn't look at my notes?
Yes.
Or is looking at your notes part of the fun?
No, it's dramatically improved without looking at your notes.
It would look more professional.
Yeah.
So, like, ultimately, we all want to sort of do away with the set list in our pocket. We want to just keep it in our heads.
In our hearts.
Well, I was going to say in our heads.
In our head hearts.
Our head hearts?
Yeah.
Is that the... What's a head heart?
Alan Asimov. We'll let you know the next time he's up.
Yeah, that's right. He coined the word? The phrase?
Asimov?
No, head hearts.
Oh, yeah, let's blame it on him.
Blame it on the
So they can check us out on, where was it again? Facebook.com/AndTheRestOfUs.
And you can go to our website, AndTheRestOfUs.com.
There's also YouTube.com/RisingComedians and Twitter.com/RisingComedians.
Rising Comedians.
And the Rest of Us was taken.
The Rest of Us was taken. I feel sad every single time.
All right, let's get this short. These people gotta go.
Okay, they gotta go.
Write your own jokes.
If you wanna
send us your videos, we wanna see your videos.
Send us the videos. Yeah. We wanna see your first times. And if you're doing anything, please invite us out because we love to see open micers. We love to see what you're doing.
And love comedy.
And hopefully, very soon, we'll have our videos online, at least the clips that we would like to share. And we'll just keep accumulating them and keep them for the end. Look, I don't think there's anybody else that I've seen that has a recording of all their sets so far. And we have it from day one. So, when it comes to this podcast, we're really serious about it.
That's right. I want to get better and better.
Is that a song?
It's a tune.
It's a tune. I want to get better and better. Okay.
Want to get better and better.
You're in a singing mood today. I have a singing joke that I had to cut from my set list.
Yeah, that's nice. We're out of here, people.
Goodbye.
Ciao.
I just know I shouldn't be making any decisions, okay? The other day, I was in my house, and I just, without thinking, I spit on my floor. I'm on my hands and knees, wiping off my own spit off my own floor, and I'm thinking, my God, I'm not ready for responsibility.
't show at all.
No, I believe you. The tone of your voice says that I believe you. Ooh, I hope my jokes go over well tonight.
Why are you worried?
I'm always worried.
Because they're clean?
No. Just, how I want to deliver them.
It'll be fun. It'll be fine.
But God and Adam, I really want that to go over well. Before you.
Did I hear the joke yet?
Never.
Oh, it's going to be cool.
I came up with it 2 days ago.
I have another gay joke, but I'm worried that I'm hitting it too hard on the head. People are really going to think that I'm gay. That's why I like starting off by saying I'm not gay.
I'm not gay. I don't have a joke for that. I just felt like it was in the room, so I just wanted to address that. I'm not gay.
Comedy works. I can't wait to hit that stage.
Comedy works today.
No, that doesn't work that way.
You gotta do your line again. We can't stand up unless you sit down.